You're Rick, right? I'm Negan.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips, Brandon Stone, and Shuddy Boy.
You know, you're one bad day away from being me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Journey into Comics. This is episode 94, and today, joining me, as always, co-host Brando. Welcome.
What's up?
Not much, man. How are you?
Dealing.
Dealing? Oh, that's a word. I just, like, pulled my collar, you know, just like, geez. So, hey, today is Mother's Day.
It is, yes.
And while this is a cool holiday, I would say, we had a cooler holiday that was this past week that we're going to get to today. But I wanted to ask, first and foremost, how was your first Mother's Day with Wyatt?
It was all right. He's been pretty chill all day, really. The cats, Silas, he's been a little dick today.
I think I read somewhere on Facebook he got stuck behind your stove, huh?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Interesting.
So was he just like scavenging for food or something, or was he chasing like a rodent, or was he just being an asshole and decided, fuck it, I'm going under the behind the fucking stove?
Silas definitely has been stressed out since last summer.
Since the pregnancy.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was also allergic to fleas.
Oh.
That we discovered. And we had some fleas last year, and after we got taken care of, is still spazzy.
I just like envisioned like Tweak from South Park. You know, he just like twitches every now and again, just like.
That is exactly what it's like. He will tweak and then just run throughout the house in like a craze.
Oh, he just like all of a sudden just like goes into a ball of energy and just shoots around.
And then he'll start scratching himself like crazy, even though there's nothing to scratch.
Yeah, that's Cammy. One of our cats has that same kind of problem, except for she isn't really. It's weird. You kind of described a similar cat because Cammy scratches for no reason. She just will be sitting there and she'll like walk out of the comic room or some shit, and then all of a sudden she's flying at a million miles an hour, running up into the windowsill and then jumping back down off the thing. And I'm like, what the fuck are you chasing? There's nothing here to chase except for the other cat, and I see her. She's asleep. You're not chasing her. Knock that shit off, you know. And that's got to be stressful for you, too. You guys have four cats.
I know, man.
Oh, man. You got Gohan. I'm going to try to do it all. So there's Gohan, Silas, Barlow, and Luna?
Yep.
Yes, I'm the champion of cat naming.
But they all have middle names, too.
Oh, well, I don't think I've ever heard any of your cats' middle name. But is Barlow's James?
Barlow James.
Yeah, that's ingrained in me because I've heard Caitlin yell it so many times.
Yes. That was one of the most yelled names while we were playing on like Mass Effect multiplayer. All those guys would know that it'd be just dead silent on my end all of a sudden, and she would yell at the cat or something. Barlow James, Silas Severus.
I like that. Obviously after Severus Snape.
Gohan Mitchell.
Cool. Don't know where the Mitchell comes from, but that's cool.
Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so good, dude. Oh, it's so good.
And Luna Belle.
Belle, like from Beauty and the Beast?
Yes. Her name was Luna before, like when we adopted her.
Yeah.
Oh, we just kept it.
Because you liked it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's another Harry Potter name. So.
Yeah, Luna Lovegood.
So, and then we were trying to come up with a second name, and when we got her, she had this purple collar on with a bell on it.
Ring-a-ding-a-ding.
Yeah, so whenever you would hear her run through the house, she would ring-a-ling or, like, all across the floor and everything.
Ring-a-ling across the floor. I love it. All right, Brando. So back to what I was talking about just a few minutes ago. Today is Mother's Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But earlier in the week, we actually had like a middle of the week holiday, if you will, because it was May the 4th and Revenge of the 5th. And today is the Force Awakens. A wheat thins. I tried to do that. Didn't work out so good.
The force a wheat thins?
No, oh, eighth. Eight. Because today is the eighth. A wheat thins. You know,
I know, but it almost sounds like you're saying a force of wheat thins.
I like wheat thins. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm all down on that.
Look, I'm not picky about my cereal, Brandon. That's all I'm fucking saying. Okay.
Wheat thins aren't cereal.
You know what I was thinking of?
Frosted mini wheats. Yeah. Frosted mini wheats.
Yeah. For some reason, wheat thins are those thin wheat cracker dudes.
Yeah, and you know what? Star Wars was on everything else this past winter for, like, I mean, they were on Go-Gurt. It was on Downy, like the fabric softener.
That's true.
They were on I made that up. I didn't even know if it was true.
I'm pretty sure they were on something like that.
They're always on Campbell's. I mean, I'm pretty sure they were on a bag of Friskies.
They have their own cereal.
They have their own cereal. I'm pretty sure they were guests on Charmin. Anything you can imagine. I mean, Clorox Bleach, you know.
Wait, time out. Which Star Wars character sponsored Clorox Bleach? I've got to know. Is that Jabba? Like, when I want my palace clean, I use Clorox, you know? Actually, in Hutt Tees, it would be a little more like, what a fungo dandos, Han Solo. You know?
Yeah, Han Solo has to clean the whole palace. That's his repayment for his... For that shipment that he lost.
So I've got to ask. That would actually be funny. That would actually be hilarious. Like, look, here's the deal, Han. You fucked me one too many times, my bookie. And listen, I need you to clean the entire palace, top to bottom, front to back, Rancor pit and all. And I know some of those shits in there. They're bigger than you, but you're gonna figure it out, man. Here's a shovel. You know, that's gross. But I got to ask, what did you do for your fourth other than probably work? I would assume you went to work unless you took the day off.
No, my fourth was very uneventful.
Yeah. Did you watch any Star Wars at all of any kind?
Nay. No, nay. No, I did not.
Did you at least make Star Wars references and or puns?
I don't remember. I've slept since then.
Okay, last question. Did you at least wish somebody the 4th, telling them may the 4th be with them?
I explained it to somebody else.
Who didn't know?
Somebody at work, where they were just like, is there an actual Star Wars day? And I said, well, they didn't make it. The fans sort of made it.
It's true.
They sort of adopted it.
We kind of hijacked it. I watched a couple different Star Wars things. Right now on Hulu, there are two documentaries. One is called The Power of the Plastic, I think, which is a thing about the Star Wars toys, which is a really interesting documentary if you've never seen it. But more interestingly enough, there's a documentary that I had forgotten I had even seen, Brando, called The People versus George Lucas. Have you seen that?
I started watching that probably around 2 or 3 years ago. I remember it was on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, it's now on Hulu. Hulu has the rights. If you want to watch it, folks, just go on Hulu and look up The People versus George Lucas. But man, top to bottom, up and down, celebrities and everybody describing everything that he did to essentially ruin his own franchise. And I think it was beautifully summed up in one phrase. Someone said, George Lucas is a fanboy of George Lucas writing fan fiction when he changes the special featured versions of Star Wars, in the 95 re-release, adding some things, Jabba being one of those things. So I also, because, you know, George Lucas is awful in that regard, it's like you have to hate him and love him, Brando, you know?
Well, especially when he advocated for, like, was it some sort of, old films, and they were trying to colorize.
Yeah,
black and white films.
He wanted to preserve. It was preservation of artist integrity, was what the thing came down to. And he was saying, "Look, this is how the world saw it, and the world needs to keep seeing it that way. Don't colorize the black and white movies, because that's going to take away from what the artist saw and how their vision was seen." You know. So, with that being said, you're just like, man, why? You know, you can't fight and say, I'm going to be, you know, don't fuck with artist integrity and then fucking be the one that fucks with your own integrity. He's like, he's ruined himself, dude.
Well, it's okay. I can sort of see why he would say, don't mess with their integrity, but if they want to do it, that's their own thing. You know, like say like if the creator of said creation decides to add another brushstroke, he should be able to do that. But say like, you know, some other guy gets some other company buys the rights to this back catalog of films and they want to make changes, then that shouldn't be done. However, based on the words of what he said, you know, especially when he's adding all this stuff in to, did I mind the special editions? No. Did I mind when they started making Ewoks blink? I started thinking, what else are you going to do? Now you've gone completely insane.
Well, you know, it's funny. I still have not went back and watched the specialized version of Return because I now have all three. I have the original trilogy as is despecialized, and I love it. I love watching them. They're so awesome. Now, I will say, and I'll post the link somewhere on Facebook in the next couple days for any of you who are listening out there. I also went and I actually did full-on research and researched even deeper into Machete Order, and I have some interesting things I want to bring up about that real quick. One, totally wrong. People had said, and I had heard kind of through other people sharing it, that it was Danny Trejo's like vision of how Star Wars should be. Danny Trejo has nothing to do with it. There's some website, and I want to say it's like nomachetejuggling.com or some shit. It's a blog site this guy has, Ron, I think his name is, and he came up with it, and, you know, he details every fucking finite detail about what Machete Order does, which is beautiful, because then once you actually re-rewatch, you see these things play out, and you're like, oh, that's how it makes the most sense. So, to fast track, we already know what Machete Order is. If you've listened to Journey into Comics, if you haven't, go back and listen. It's one of the older episodes. It's in the description. But he fast tracks and he says, you know, since The Force Awakens, I've had a lot of people that have been like, hey, you should tell us what we need to do about episode 7. And he's like, it's fucking episode 7. You watch it after 6. Like, duh, you know? But then that got him pondering, and he writes in the blog about this, like, well, what if, you know, what if you put it at the beginning, though, and watch 7 first, so you're seeing the new trilogy play out with these new characters, you meet old Luke at the very end, and then get his fucking backstory into the Machete Order, where you get Anakin's backstory, and then back to whatever. But the guy was, you know, just essentially saying, like, he sees no reason to do that.
Well, just to interrupt you for a second.
No, go ahead.
It's kind of hard to say, like, if you want to put this movie in a different order, it's going to be hard to say exactly where to put it until this trilogy is said and done.
Exactly.
Depending on what kind of story they decide to tell.
And then, Brando, I got to thinking, because what are we going to get this year? You know what's coming. Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
Are you excited for Rogue One, by the way? Can we just discuss that for a second? I'm really excited, man, especially they've announced Vader's in it officially. Like, he's a big role in the movie. I love that because now we get to see parts of the story we never saw before. So then that got me thinking, well, what if you watch Rogue One, then episode fucking 4? Because that technically is the precursor to the whole series if you put it where they're telling us the story is going to be, which is before the first Death Star was built, which would obviously have to take place before episode 4. So I guess it amped me up. Like, I'm really excited to see Rogue One now, because it's like, what if that helps the story be even cooler? This is a very massive story. There are a lot of different ways you can watch it. You can watch it theatrical order, which would be 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. You could watch it in numerical order, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, obviously. And then obviously now there's Machete Order. But if you, like, I want to tell you guys, viewers, listeners, I guess I should say, try Machete Order. You will not regret it. If you can get your hands on the despecialized versions of the movie, please do that. Watch the despecialized versions, and it's super cool. So anyways, Brando, what do we got next, man?
Well, okay, so this...
Unless you have more Star Wars talk, because I totally just, like, fucking jumped the gun there.
Well, the only thing that I really saw... Okay, well, they've casted young Han Solo.
Yeah, I can't say that kid's name.
I can't either, and I don't even know what he's been in. He is a total unknown to me.
I know he was actually just in a recent comedy movie that starred George Clooney called Hail Caesar.
Okay, I
never saw it. I knew the name Hail Caesar because Clooney was in it. I remember seeing a trailer and it was a funny comedy type movie. But I've not seen it, so I can't comment on the guy who's acting.
Right. Yeah, I've never heard of the kid, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. It was hard for me to decide who should play young Han anyway. And like, I guess what I'm trying to like kind of get at with this is that. The only story that I'm really going to be interested in seeing is that they're going to have to do him freeing Chewie from the Imperial slavers.
Yeah. And
they have to show the life debt. Yeah.
So they need to show the life debt. And then they also need to show how he got, because I think it would be great, almost like in a Ocean's 11 style, to see how he's a heist dude, how he smuggles things and gets away with crazy things, because Han Solo is always in shenanigans, and I would like to see him evolve into the character he becomes.
Exactly. There does need to be a certain character set before he's even episode 4, right, Han, because there's an evolution from that Han to the episode 6 Han, right?
Absolutely.
And you can't mess with that, so we need to be able to have a character who's even before where we first meet him evolve to a place closer to where he's going to be. He can't, in my opinion, be too typical hero,
Okay, I was just getting ready to ask you this. Do you think they're going to make the movie where we kind of hate Han Solo when we first meet him and for the better part of the movie?
I wouldn't say hate him.
Or he's really, annoyed by him, maybe.
He's got to look out for himself, okay? Because it doesn't make any sense to have this young, heroic kid, and all of a sudden we meet him in episode 4, and he cares about nothing but himself.
Okay, and then I have another different spinoff thought. What if we see Han Solo as a kid, and he's been, like, abused, essentially picked on, everyone's turned their back on him, and that's why he becomes the loner we meet in episode 4?
Maybe, sure, yeah, but wasn't he also, he was in the, was he a pilot for the Imperials?
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, I would love to see that too. I mean, I want to see a young, arrogant, asshole Han Solo with twinges of goodness in him to the point of by the time where he's officially grown up and basically forced with the choice of good, he goes good,
Yeah. I mean, that's the evolution. That's the only thing I don't like about prequel movies for the most part. You kind of know what happens at the end, obviously, but I love that they allow you to see a point in time from a different perspective altogether. Like the idea of a complete movie that's all from Han Solo's perspective and the shit he went through. And of course, then you look at a Solo Han movie. Does that mean that like 25 or 30% of the movie we're getting a Solo Chewie movie that's telling his backstory as well?
Well, I mean, sure, yeah. I mean, my only issue with any sort of offset movie is that it has to keep with the integrity of the original films. It can't mess with that.
100%. I mean, exactly. So, talking about messing with things, Brando, let's get back to what we were going to talk about, because I remembered the next topic. What do you think, Brando, on a scale of, like, we'll say 1 to 10, what do you think about these new Power Ranger suits?
Pretty much what I expected.
Pretty much what you expected. Okay. So you expected them to be a little sleek, futurized, mostly metallic.
Almost Iron Man-esque.
Yeah, that's been the rap, huh?
I mean, I honestly think it's just the glowing stuff in the center. In my opinion, if they actually had like their symbols there, which, of course, they didn't have in the original show, but it'd be okay if they had, like, glowing symbols. Maybe it wouldn't be so off-putting. That's like kind of Iron Man-esque. But I mean, then again, it's like they redid RoboCop and he was kind of Iron Man-esque as well.
Yeah.
Does it ruin it? No, because there's enough there of old, there's enough there of new. There's a it was really unsurprising. Like I saw it and it really didn't draw my ire, but it also didn't make me like it didn't blow my mind with any new ideas.
I saw something pretty fucking funny, dude, and I hopefully you saw it floating around online, cuz people make memes. As soon as shit hits the internet, there's always a meme about it. Someone had photoshopped the picture that they released in the old like Ranger cave or whatever. And instead of Zordon's face, it was Tony Stark.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "Oh, that's fucking hilarious."
I think it was titled "What Happens at, After Civil War."
Ooh, that's good. That's good. Well, yeah, yeah. No spoilers there. Speaking of that, today, Brando, I want to mention that here in a little bit, I'm going to give a review of Civil War. But for the first time on our show, I'm pretty sure can we get a fact check? Is this a fact check? I think I'm not spoiling any of the movie because you actually haven't got to see it yet. So I'm going to do my best, and I'm actually going to do a very good job to not spoil the movie, but get you even more hyped to see it. That's my hope.
If only we would have had time, I would have loved to have done like the South Park spoof thing that they did when they revealed Cartman's father. Like, the episode concerning the Civil War review will not be seen tonight. But no, I haven't got a chance to see it yet. I won't get to see it till like next week. It really sucks, but it's kind of how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's not the end of the world, man. It's a movie. It's going to be in theaters for a while. That's the beauty of film. You can go check it out when you can. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I mean, I've already waited, so I'm really good about staying away from spoilers as long as people don't post stuff on Facebook, which, you know, surprisingly enough, no one has yet.
We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that thing that you're describing later. So anyways, with the Ranger suits, man, they do look kind of Stark-esque, but there are some things I really like. I love that they almost 100% true to the original have the Morpher built into the suit. Mm-hmm. I thought that
Morpher
looked really cool.
Yeah. And the masks themselves actually harken back to the original masks.
I was just getting ready to say that the helmets are not exact, but they are beautiful interpretations, if you will, of the original Ranger helmets. So
they're close enough that you know what they are.
Exactly. You absolutely know what they are. So I liked that. I think that one thing we lose here is that when you do a group shot like that, you don't get to see all the finite detail, because even if you blow it up, it's not the highest quality image. Yep. When they release the close-ups of each individual Ranger, they'll do character posters, you know, and so on and so forth. I'm interested in seeing a couple things here. I want to know what the names of these characters are. Are they going to be the OG names? Are they going to reuse the name Jason? Are they going to reuse the name Trini? There are things like that that are to be thought about. And they might have already said what they're doing, and I just missed it. But
you know what? I'm going to look something up on IGN while we continue talking. I want to say they have names, but I don't remember if they've actually said what they are.
Because then I have a totally different beautiful thought, is that this Power Rangers movie is set in the same universe that we saw the originals from, and that these are like the Morphers are being passed down essentially. You won't see any of the characters hand them down, but they will find them, locate them, become super powerful teenage heroes, and, you know, hopefully have some cool fights. We'll get a cool Rita monster out of it, probably. Maybe Ivan Ooze will make an appearance. That would be interesting. I doubt they do that.
Wait, I thought he's going to be an X-Men.
Oh, he's already an X-Men. Oh, I have another. That's, man, you just made me bring up another quick tangent. I'll be really fast about this. I'll spend no more than a minute. So really quickly, I saw online this video, the guy that made the Black Panther mask for Civil War. He's done all the helmets for Marvel. He did the armored Batman suit for BVS and so on. He was contracted to do X-Men Age of Apocalypse or Apocalypse, and he lost the bid, so he didn't end up getting to do it. And he was actually kind of upset, like, oh, God, they didn't do it how they should have done it. Oscar Isaacs looks kind of dorky. So this dude on his own time, and you can see the video online, I want to say I'll try to post the video. But anyways, he made his own mold of, because he has Oscar Isaac's mold already for another project he did. He already had the mold, so he made his own version of Apocalypse, and it's like chilling. It's so awesome. It's so like a beautifully perfect interpretation, and it was still Oscar Isaac's the whole time. They didn't need to make him look dumb, is all I'm saying. Anyways, back to what we were talking about, Power Rangers. Did you look up what you were looking up?
I did, and on IMDb, they are listed as Kimberly, Trini, Billy, Zach, and Jason.
Wow, interesting. So this is a retelling or a reimagining of the original MMPR.
Yes.
Well, hopefully it'll be good, man. I don't know. That's all I can say. I would give it like, 6 out of 10 for the new suits. They're not my favorite, but I don't hate them.
I don't hate them either. It just, as I said, it really didn't really draw any sort of emotional response for me. It didn't. I was hoping when I saw it that it was going to be like, you know, overly positive, but it really just was. They're there.
Yeah. You know what is going to be positive, though? And I'm positive that it will be. And I'm so excited to hear your reaction because I don't think we've actually talked about this together yet. Dude, they're doing a Punisher series on Netflix.
Well, we sort of knew, like, kind of figured what they would.
I mean, they had to. I said that before, that they had to. There's no way you don't do that. But now we know it's actually going to happen. How fucking crazy is that, dude? John Bernthal is now our Punisher through and through, and so much so he did such a good job that he gets his own series.
I'm really excited to see what they do with it because they've already, in a sense, they've already done the origin. They can elaborate more on that. But I'm really excited to see more about what makes him tick. One of the scenes I really liked from the Daredevil season was him sitting in that diner.
Yeah, talking with Karen.
Yes, and just him giving a read on the characters, on her character, and then it was explained by his CEO later on that he was so good at impressions because he was so good at reading people.
Yeah, man, that diner scene's brutal as shit too, because he tells her to get down, and then he fucks those dudes up.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of the theme of that season of Daredevil, man, is Punisher and Daredevil getting fucked up. Because it just, you know, how many times do we see, like, Frank Castle isn't just this unstoppable bat? I think that's what I really loved about his portrayal, going back to John Bernthal as the Punisher. He wasn't just a dude who could just mow through everybody because he had lots of guns. There were times where he got his ass kicked and he had to fucking pick himself back up and fucking keep fighting. There's something extraordinarily, you know, brave and charismatic about that. And he's not a brave, well, he kind of is. He's kind of a stoic character, though. He's not charismatic and outgoing. He just does shit because he wants justice to be served.
Yeah. You know? I really was enamored by his portrayal of Frank Castle, especially with those segments, as you noted it, and that's the same reason why we lauded the first season of Daredevil, how he got his ass kicked a lot and just kept getting up and just he got tired, you know.
Yeah,
the hallway scene where he gets winded and then he's sitting there like waiting for those guys to get up and not continuously stomping on them because he's out of breath. I mean, it's the same thing. What we're seeing in this universe from this point of view is that these guys are not just superhuman. In some senses, you can say that, you know, okay, Daredevil is, yes, but they're people. They can only take so much.
Yeah, they don't have some of the perks of the other superheroes that exist.
Exactly. They, yeah. Along with that, in comparison to that hallway scene, there was another hallway scene in Daredevil, but you know, they sort of gave Frank his own scene, and that was that prison hallway scene.
Yeah, that was cool. You know what's funny? Go ahead. You go first.
I was just going to say that if that scene and if their portrayal of him in Daredevil is anything for us to expect in a solo endeavor, then I am 100% all in. I cannot wait to see what they bring to the table.
Yeah. What was I was going to tell you? Interestingly enough, when we were giving our season review for Daredevil, we mentioned that we were going to talk about the Matt Murdock stairwell fight.
Yep.
And then we never got back to it.
Nope.
So if you want to take a couple minutes, I just want to say that it was, I think it was like episode 7 maybe? Or 6?
No. That was early.
Was it earlier?
Well, yeah, because that was right after Frank had him tied up.
Oh, that was actually, I think that was episode 2, Brando. I'm so dumb.
Episode 2 or 3.
I'm pretty sure I remember it's episode 2 because I went, oh, just like last season, episode 2 was the cool hallway fight. They did it again. That's fucking badass. But man, it was sick. The camera work. Mm-hmm. It looked, dude, I swear they had to have shot that one take.
There might have been a few creative cuts that they did in there. Some good creative editing, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah. It looks phenomenal. I mean, again, Netflix, praise be unto you because you bring me amazing TV. Found another great Netflix exclusive show, Brando. Check it out sometime. It's called F is for Family. It's Bill Burr, and it's a cartoon, and it's hilarious.
To go back to Power Rangers for just a second.
Sure.
I paid attention to the character names.
Okay.
They are the same character names, but they're throwing a little bit of a twist into these characters.
Okay.
Well, one could say that the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was the cast was very stereotypical.
When you look at them, yes.
Because you had racially stereotypical. You had the Black Ranger as the Black Ranger. You had the Yellow Ranger as the Asian girl, right?
Yep.
That's not necessarily the case anymore.
Really?
Now, Billy is black.
That's cool.
And Zach is Asian.
Zach's an Asian guy.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Zach is the Asian Ranger, i.e. he's the yellow one.
No.
I was
No.
That's a weird choice. Is he blue then?
Zach is black. Is the Black Ranger. I'm sorry. Zach is the Black Ranger, and he's Asian. Billy is an African-American, and he's the Blue Ranger.
Oh. So
the names still co-align with the colors.
But it's just the now races are different.
They've changed Billy into being African-American, and they've changed...
That's fucking cool, man. I Zach don't care.
But it looks like Trini is also Asian as well, so that's the same. And then Jason... I'm afraid I'm going to butcher his first name. Dacre?
Whoa.
D-A-C-R-E?
Dacre. I bet he's French.
Dacre? I'm trying to... of course, he's a pretty young actor, so he doesn't have a whole lot of... Yeah, no, he only has 4 films before Power Rangers. And 2 of them are in post-production. They're not even out yet.
Oh, dang.
Daker.
Huh.
That's the only trivia thing, and did you know? His first name pronounced Daker.
He probably put that on there himself.
He's like, fuck.
So people don't fuck this up. I'm going to go edit my own IMDb, god damn it. You know?
I would.
I mean, fuck yeah. You know what? Actually, I want to say that either representatives of that... actor or something have access to the IMDb's of the individuals, because I feel like you can get it's really difficult to like request changes on IMDb. You can't just go edit it, I don't think, right?
I don't think so.
Because fucking here's this made up movie with this made up title that this made up person was in. Why don't you cast them?
Okay, well. Here's the thing about, like, you know, Hollywood, they have the Screen Actors Guild.
Yep.
And when you register, you can't have the same name as another registered actor. Hence why Michael Keaton is Michael Keaton, not Michael Douglas, like his real name is.
Yep.
So I wondered because you know how the joke is that, like, our grandkids are going to have a hell of a time finding screen names or anything online. And so I wonder if, like, in the future... You know, 60 years in the future, we're going to have an actor named XX Robert Downey Jr. XX.
That would be hilarious. Like, well, every name has been taken. That's a crazy thought. But then you just start making up fucking words, dude. And then you start thinking, like, all words are fucking made up because there's no like handbook to be a human. They didn't just pass that shit down and say, here's how you fucking do it, man. We could just be speaking nothing that doesn't even make sense. And for some reason we all understand each other. What the fuck is that?
Well, I mean, like, I did not know how to pronounce this guy's name. Like, it's almost like it's almost daycare.
Is it almost like Dothraki?
It is not almost like Dothraki. However, I did read an interesting little note that in the books, there's not really a whole lot of examples of Dothraki language. But for the show, they've come up with more than 2,000 words
of
Dothraki language. And there are actually more words for kill than there are love.
Damn, that's crazy. So let's talk about it, Brando. I was trying to ease us in
segue?
There. That was a segue. We'll call it that. We haven't talked about it yet, and I'm so excited. For the first time ever, we can talk about a brand new episode of Game of Thrones. Really, we have two to discuss briefly. Two episodes of Game of Thrones.
Back again.
Jon Snow's back. That's a spoiler. You know? So anyways, dude, I'm finally watching Game of Thrones like you are, and holy shit, it's great. What do you think so far of season one, man? Or not season one, damn it. Season six, episodes one and two.
The first season one of us watching it in tandem.
That's what I meant.
You know, the first episode was very much, all right, here we go. Let's get this ball rolling. This is where we were. This is where we're going.
No guaranteed payoff.
Right, yes. No, there was really no payoff throughout that entire episode. The only thing that I really like from the on, like, I liked how they followed up with Brienne and Podrick coming to the save for Sansa and Reek. What's his name, dude?
Theon Greyjoy.
Theon. I couldn't remember his name.
His real name? Yeah, you've called him Reek so much you forgot?
Yeah.
You're just like his oppressors, you bastard.
I am. But I liked that. I liked how they followed up on, you know, on Khaleesi, and she's in a new Dothraki group, and how she mentioned how she was married to Khal Drogo, and that Islay got her some cred.
And everybody backed the fuck up.
Yeah.
It was like, you don't fuck with another cow's wife.
Right, yeah. I liked that a lot. That was really neat.
Okay. I have one. We're talking about Dothraki, so I just need to interject this one tiny little weird thing that happened. So, for the first episode of GOT, you were here that day, and then you guys left. And then we went to Veronica's house and watched the premiere with her mom and her mom's girlfriend and their friend Michael, and we were all there hanging out. And can I just say that watching Game of Thrones, and you're with these people that you kind of know, but not like really super know, and then they start talking about white pussy hairs, gets a little bit awkward. I'm just saying. Like, thanks for the awkward moment, GOT. Just saying. Anyways, so continue on about the episode one.
Those are the only two things that really stand out. I mean, it did move the story. I'm trying to remember if that was the... Oh, no, wait, they killed in Dorne.
Yep.
They killed the leader of Dorne, and they killed somebody else. I'm trying to remember who.
Didn't the dude... No. There were two... There was...
Wanted to say there were two deaths in the first episode.
Yeah, but I think one of the two was not very, like, prominent.
Yeah. Because in the second episode, isn't that when Ramsay killed his dad?
Yeah. Episode two.
Okay.
Episode two, yeah. Because
he killed his dad right when they found out that the baby had been born, and then he killed his stepmother and then presumably the baby as well.
That was a fucked up scene, Brandon.
Dude, I'm telling you, Ramsay has become even bigger of a heel than Joffrey.
Yes, because I fully agree with you.
Okay, now there was someone who kind of questioned that, and I kind of like try to come up with a good viable argument, and I'm not necessarily like this isn't the hill that I'm going to die on here. I'm not trying to say, you know, go to my grave saying that, you know, Ramsay's worse than Joffrey. They're both pretty terrible, but to say that Joffrey was a spoiled little brat, right?
Yes.
Who always got what he wanted.
Correct.
Right? And then he got the power. And then he became something else.
Yes.
Entirely.
It changed him even more.
Exactly. Now, okay, because you can almost argue that before he got the power, maybe Joffrey could have been, like, humbled, you know? I doubt it, but maybe. There's always that maybe with somebody who, you know, when somebody is absolutely powerless and they're used to being a spoiled brat and they're that young, you can impression humble, you know, you can leave that impression of being humbled on them. Ramsay has always been a complete cock grabber and cock snatcher, because he snatched Theon's cock up, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and fed it to him.
And he did that before he even had real power.
Correct. He was kind of operating in the shadows at that point.
He was still Ramsay Snow at that point. He hadn't even earned his name.
Do you remember when Ramsay seemed like he might be a good guy for a minute? And you're like, oh, he's going to help him. He's going to help Theon get out. What the fuck? Why is he helping him? And then it was like, oh.
It was all just a ploy to, like, mentally break him down.
Fucking wrecked him. Holy shit. For your argument with Joffrey or Ramsay, who's worse? Here's one thing I'll mention to side with you, because I agree. Ramsay works are very, very, like, very much like an anarchist. He doesn't care. He doesn't really have a plan. He just wants to be the leader. He wants to be the king at some point. And he knows that he's the future, because obviously his dad's getting old. And if his dad's not going to take the Iron Throne, why the fuck can't it be him? But how long does he have to wait for his dad to die before he can go after it? So he said, let's speed the fucking process up. Joffrey was, at least in some regards, honorable. Yes, he was crazy. Yeah, he did some really fucking fucked up shit. You know, don't need to talk about the crossbow and all that shit. You know, and what he did to Ned and everything. Okay, all those things considered, Joffrey still worked in some sort of rule. You know, he was the king. And he did have the power to do anything he wanted. But in some regards, he still worked with a little bit of honor and a little bit of integrity, and I don't think those are things that Ramsay necessarily even has.
Well, okay, now, right before Ramsay killed his dad, they were arguing about Sansa and her getting away, and they need to get her back, because without Sansa, without a Stark in Winterfell, they don't have the North.
Yep.
They don't have, you know, their alliances fall apart.
Yep.
And so... He was talking about, well, they're going to Castle Black, where her brother, Jon Snow, is now the Lord Commander. Of course, they don't know that at this point, Jon had been killed.
Correct.
And was no longer Lord Commander. But that's when Ramsay said, well, we'll get our men and we'll storm the castle and we'll kill him and take Sansa. And his dad looked at him and said, that is so stupid. Yeah. What? You know, it's like, think about what you're suggesting. Without them at the wall, we're left vulnerable, and any respectable family that would have backed us is now gone.
Yeah.
And Ramsay, I think, is somewhere in his head, is still going to try and go through with that plan. And I really wonder, because at the end of the last episode, John woke up after the ritual.
Melisandre did the ritual,
which was in Valyrian. I didn't. We watched last episode with subtitles on, and it didn't say what she was saying. It didn't translate it, but it said, you know, speaking in Valyrian.
Whoa, that's cool.
So that makes me wonder if the maybe the Lord of Light. That religion stems down from Valyria, which isn't that where the Targaryens are from?
Yes.
So, and then the Lord of Light, the fire, dragons, it's like, it's all sort of like...
The same.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like all combining, you know, like thematically at least.
And there were some that had theorized Jon Snow had relation, like, to Daenerys, right?
There is a theory that Jon is the son of Lyanna Stark and always forget his name. Rhaegar.
Rhaegar or Aegon?
I want to say Aegon, or was he the Mad King, or was he the original Targaryen? Okay, because you had the Mad King, and his son, his heir, was Rhaegar, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, the Mad King had two other kids. That was Daenerys was the youngest, and then her older brother. Now, Rhaegar was the heir to the throne, and he was going to be betrothed to, I want to say, Cersei Lannister.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't love Cersei. He loved Lyanna. So...
Cool, Cersei had other plans.
Well, okay, yeah. The thing here is that, you know, Lyanna was always supposed to marry Robert. That was a, you know, arranged marriage. And Robert loved her to death. And it's explained in season one that Lyanna's kidnapped by Rhaegar. But the theory is, what if she wasn't kidnapped? Like they thought, what if she ran off with him, got married, you know, in a private ceremony,
uh-huh,
got pregnant. Rhaegar was killed in battle by Robert.
Uh-huh.
Now, with the, who would be heir to the throne if, okay, because Lyanna forced, the theory is Lyanna forced Ned to keep Jon as his own and hide him from Robert, because Robert and them had just ordered the death and killing of any Targaryen child.
Yep.
You know, so that way no one could challenge his throne. Now, wouldn't you think that as honorable as Ned is, Ned would honor his dying sister's wish to keep her only son alive and away from Robert, and then he would bring dishonor to his own name? That's not to say that maybe there wasn't some big titted chick at some bar, at some tavern along the warpath, along, you know, during the battle days, that was hanging all over Ned.
Yep.
I for one don't think Ned would have cheated on Catelyn. I think he used her as an excuse for when Robert asked, you have a bastard child? That it was that one big titted, and Robert, of course, probably in too drunk to remember if Ned or did or didn't, is he's gonna think, well, that's what I would have done. That's my boy, you know?
Yep.
So that's the theory, is that then Jon would be Targaryen, and would technically, I'm not sure if you would consider him or Daenerys, you know, heir to the Iron Throne.
Ooh, that's tough.
Because typically the male is going to inherit the throne. That would make Jon the heir. Daenerys has been, you know, kind of marching to the beat of her own drum and saying that she is the only Targaryen left. If it's true that Jon is a Targaryen, then she wouldn't be.
Huh.
But there was another theory that Kit Harington shot down last week in an interview. There was a theory that when he died, you know how Bran could, like, shift his spirit into other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
The theory was that Jon could do it too, but he did it involuntarily once he was killed and shift his spirit into ghost.
Well, that's interesting.
He shot it down by giving a spoiler for tonight's episode.
Uh-oh.
If you want me to, I can say it. It's not necessarily giant, but somebody asked John what he saw in death.
Uh-huh.
And John replies with nothing. Nothing at all. And Kit went on to say that that's probably the most important line of the entire season, as far as he's concerned.
Huh.
Because from where he stands, he goes, "That how does that not change somebody? You were dead, and there was nothing, and now you're back.
Yeah.
How would that not forever change you as a person?
It would. I mean, it's like being it's like being reborn. You know.
It is, but you also know what awaits you.
True.
You know. If, you know, for everybody, there's this long, big wonder of what's the afterlife? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there a purgatory? Will I exist in some form? And now he knows that for a fact that there's nothing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He was dead, and then he woke up, and now that scares the shit out of him, probably. And I just wonder how that's going to lead and focus his character. And there are many at Castle Black that are loyal to Jon Snow.
Oh, yeah, we've seen that in episode 2 already.
Oh, I know. And then, of course, the wildlings. And they showed up.
That was sick.
Oh, man. When that giant grabbed that guy out of that
little flung him.
And then all everybody else with their swords and their bows, they just
put it down. Just like, okay, we get it.
Oh, I loved it.
Dude, there was great. There was a second in episode one where I really, really yet again felt bad for Sansa, because it was like, Reek's like, oh, we're going to go to Castle Black where your brother is. And I was just like, no, he's dead. Don't do it. Don't go. Like, bad things await you, Sansa. And then obviously Brienne of Toth showed up and saved the day, man. Her and Podrick were kicking ass.
Yeah. There was another character that got killed too. That was Theon's dad.
Yep.
And then now his brother killed him, which I don't remember his brother all that much. I want to say that maybe he was mentioned in an earlier season, like offhandedly, but that's the problem with watching the show and then going back and looking up the history of events of the show and the whole story, because they're, let's just say that, like, sometimes the history that I know may not necessarily be the history that they're using. Is this the history of as a story, like, as a whole?
Yeah.
From the books into the show. And so I may have read about him there as well. So when this show has so many characters and it has such a rich history and they name drop stuff, but like it's nothing to them because that's the world they live in. You know, for us as viewers or readers or whatever, it can get difficult to track people.
Very true. I know that a lot of people complain, like, man, how are you supposed to remember anybody's name? They all sound alike, but they're all different, and there's so many different people in the show.
Oh, there for a while, I couldn't remember anybody's name.
Yeah, I try my best, and like all if I have a trouble remembering somebody, the thing I'll do is I'll ask, like, who is that? And if somebody tells me that's so-and-so, I'll go, okay. And then I'll just stare at that person and repeat their name every second that they're on screen, just so I can, like, get it in there, you know, just, like, in my head, just going, okay, that's Ramsay Bolton, Ramsay Bolton, Ramsay Bolton, Ramsay Bolton, Ramsay Bolton. Okay, I got it, you know. So, yeah, for the most part, I think I could probably do you could show me, like, a card of a person's face, and I could probably name most of the characters in the show. There'd be a couple I'd probably fuck up, but I think I could do, like, 80% of the cast, I'd say.
When I first got into the show, and I think I've told this story on the podcast before, me and Nick Torres would talk about the show because he was, you know, he's been watching it since the start, and I was just starting to get into it when we were working together. And so we would talk about it, and for him, it was neat because he's getting like a refresher of a lot of the old stuff and digging deep into his memory banks to remember people and remember events. And for me, I'm just experiencing it for the first time, and I can't remember people's names, so he's having to try and reach back and remember people's names. So meanwhile, there's both of us who sometimes can't remember the name of a certain character, so we would just give them a name. Sir Barristan, or Sir Barristan, who is that badass Knight's Guard.
The older dude.
The older dude who ended up leaving King's Landing and going over to Daenerys. I could not remember his name. So since he's a badass old soldier, we called him Big Boss.
Oh, I love it.
Anytime we were referencing him, we always just called him Big Boss.
He had that, like, kind of Big Boss thing about him, I would say.
If he'd had an eye patch, dude, he'd have been a damn dead ringer for Big Boss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, man, I love Game of Thrones. I'm excited. Tonight's episode's going to be great, I'm sure. I don't know the spoiler that you know about the character death. I would like to... hopefully keep that off air for this one. Maybe we'll have our first, I guess we already had one spoiler, huh? I said it somewhere back then. Oh yeah. Jon Snow. That was the spoiler. Cause he's not.
Yeah. And they're sort of, the one thing that I will note for this season is that they seem to be moving a little bit faster.
Yes.
And that's because I kind of feel like they're approaching endgame and they need to stop wasting time.
Yeah. I mean, they said after this season, they've only got like three more episodes.
No, after this one, they have 13.
13 episodes. Sorry, my fault.
So
will
they
just do 20... one last season with 13 episodes?
Now, see, I've heard HBO wants 8 seasons. And so that might change things up. From what I understand, they don't want to make a full season out of the two just to make it longer, you know?
Yeah.
They definitely want to keep the pace of their story moving at the pace they feel that they need to be going. So... the rumor that I'm hearing is that season 7 will be 6 episodes and season 8 will be 7 episodes.
Okay, shorter seasons.
Yes, yeah, shorter seasons.
maybe they can give us like an extra 15 minutes an episode to make up for, you know, not giving us a full fucking season.
Well, you have to admit, I don't know. They already give us 55 minutes per episode.
That's true.
And when it started off, they were only doing maybe 50, because I think what they said, I think it started season three, they did that because they started doing 5 extra minutes per episode. And then by the time you get 10 episodes in, that extra 5 minutes turns into, you know, almost a whole length episode. So technically you're getting 11.
Damn. Now when you say it, it's like I complain too much, Brando. So does that mean that would mean a 6-episode season would give you 1 extra episode? Or a half extra episode?
Well, okay, because, like, for example, the last episode of Walking Dead was 90 minutes on television, and it translated into how many minutes?
1 hour and 4 minutes.
1 hour and 4 minutes of actual episode. And we get 55 minutes per episode of Game of Thrones.
Uninterrupted.
I mean, granted, the intro is long as shit, but that doesn't really account into it.
Wieners, floppy wieners, you know, South Park. Anyways.
I think Arya, the actress who plays Arya, there was a video, and now I haven't seen it, so I'm just...
Maisie Williams.
Yeah, Maisie Williams. She, apparently they did a thing where they all kind of sang the song.
It was like the Game of Thrones theme as sung by the cast.
And I think hers were like, death and boobies.
That's hilarious. So do we want to go ahead and do this next thing? Or is there any more GOT talk we want to do?
I think I'm done with GOT talk, other than they brought Bran Stark back finally, and we got to see like a flashback.
Yeah, I get to see a little Hodor back.
Willis!
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, get a little bit of his backstory.
And he can talk?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Oh, makes you wonder what happened.
Something traumatic, and we're probably going to see it soon, and it's probably going to suck dick.
It probably will suck, but I've also... I was talking to Blaine, and him and Nick said that they saw a scene where they show like King's Landing guards getting attacked, and like, who the fuck's attacking them again? But then they kind of realized that it could be a flashback.
Oh,
that maybe we're seeing something that happened in the past, maybe during the Baratheon War, which is awesome because I have not heard of any of the old actors coming back. But how awesome would it be to get the old, you know, Sean Bean back to play Ned, to film the scene with a dying Lyanna, and then Bran sees that. Oh God, come on, I'm done. I'm good.
You're good. Okay, so moving forward, Brando, I've seen it. It happened. It's a thing. I went to Thursday night preview night. I sat for 3 hours in a movie theater, and I've now seen Civil War. I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to give anything away. I'm not even going to really tell you the story. I'm just going to tell you some things I need people to hear so they know what they're getting into. So I'll say, for me, this is probably one of the most memorable Marvel movies in existence. I can almost recall, only seeing it one time, I can pretty much recall the movie start to finish, how things played out, almost scene for scene, because every scene is so well shot, action-packed. A lot of stuff that they did in this movie. They really tell a very cohesive story. I want to say that there are, no real big complaints. I think that there were some characters that are underutilized, that don't get enough screen time. And while I understand this is primarily Captain America story, I felt like there were some characters that get kind of pushed off screen that got cheated. And should have been involved a little bit further into the movie. I will say the trailers do a really good job of confusing you on the timeline of how you think things might possibly go down. As the movie doesn't start in any kind of current times, it actually starts in a flashback, which we saw them do with Ant-Man most recently. So that's 2 Marvel movies in a row that have started in the past. Shining stars of the movie, I will say, Brando, and to our audience listening here, Tom Holland's Spider-Man is the show stealer. Hands down, it's the greatest single interpretation of Spider-Man I've ever seen. from the banter to the action to the movement to the unsure teenager that Peter Parker is, and then a close second behind Parker and his just really great 30 some minutes of screen time that they have him. You know, the other scene stealer is Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. He just scene stealer, phenomenal. He did it just. The level of comedy and sincerity in his work is you know, bar none. So that was another bright light. Obviously, the biggest of the shining stars that wasn't Spidey was Black Panther. Chadwick Boseman did a phenomenal job. You get to see this character evolve and grow and change. He goes from, you know, this one type of person, and you see him very driven and determined to do a thing, to he is now seeing that maybe his beliefs aren't everything they're chalked up to be, and that maybe he needs to be a little bit more open-minded. I will say that, and this is, Brando, you were talking about it earlier, you said, you know, I haven't really seen any spoilers for Civil War. It's because you really can't be spoiled on it. I mean, I'm not giving you any details because it is a movie you do need to see start to finish by yourself. Is there character death? I will say yes. That's all I'll say for that. But I don't know. This movie is, there's something special about this movie. When you're watching it, you'll know it's special, and it'll stick with you. It'll stick with you for a couple days. I mean, it's been, you know, let's see. So it's been like 4 days for me since I've seen it, and it's just, I can recall it like it was yesterday. The whole movie is very cohesive. You get some interesting flashbacks. You get to see some interesting scenes and from some perspectives you may not have seen before. I'll also say Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye also killing it in the comedy department for this movie, because that's one thing I want to mention about Civil War. The movie as a whole, very serious, has a very, very dark tone. Does it have some similarities to BVS? Obviously, it's two superheroes that are good guys fighting against each other. However, the end game is very different. And Marvel did a good job of putting enough comedy and enough humor in this movie to make it cut the tension just enough to where you got to kind of just like ride this wave of emotions very, very nicely throughout. It wasn't jarring. There wasn't a funny scene and then a serious scene and then a happy scene and then a sad scene and then a mat. You know, it just kind of did this thing where it just had this nice wave, and you rode the wave out and enjoyed the Civil War. So if I were to give it out of 5 stars, honestly, and I'm a very, very heartfelt seriousness, I would give this a 4.8 out of 5. It is, I would almost say it's my favorite Marvel movie. And that's, I mean, Guardians has that title. It's damn close. I'm going to have to watch it a second time to really dive in and see, you know, all the details I missed the first time through and actually knowing the story and knowing what to look for now. But it was great. And hopefully, if you haven't seen Civil War yet, Brando, I know you haven't. I know you have plans to. But for our listeners, if you haven't seen Civil War yet, get your asses in the theater. It's an experience that you'll be so absolutely happy you did. On the flip side, Brando, now that my review is done, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, excellent. So I want to mention, on the flip side of how much I loved Civil War, I hated the experience of seeing that movie. Because preview night Thursday, we went the cheaper route. We didn't get 3D IMAX tickets. Would have been $50 to see the movie in 3D IMAX for three people. For three people. It was $32 to see it in 2D, and that was with $4 off from my AMC Stubbs card. So it would have been $36 to see it in just standard 2D. So that's ticket prices for you. We get in, we get our seats, and there's like two rows of fucking 18 to 19 high schoolers, and they're just chatty fucking Cathy's, loud, obnoxious, just not shutting the fuck up motherfuckers, all the way up and until like literally the lights went off and the movie actually started. They talked all the way up and until the first scene of the movie. And it was annoying because I wanted to see the previews. I'm trying to enjoy these fucking previews and see if there's any of these movies that I want to see. We got a Suicide Squad trailer Turtles trailer, pretty standard. There were some other trailers, but nothing really to write home about. Doctor Strange was the last trailer they showed, which I loved. Then movie starts, fucking three crying kids wailing at the top of their lungs. These kids had to be 3 or 4 years old, dude. Little kids. This family had brought like all their kids to see this movie, and like, really think about that for a second. You want 3 and 4 year olds to sit still for 3 hours and not make any noise. My guess is you're not going to pull that off unless you drug them, and then you're a terrible parent, but I digress. So that starts, and I'm like blood boiling. I'm like, I'm not going to sit through this. Fuck. Like we'll walk out right now. We'll ask for a refund and we'll go a different day. If that's the case, seriously, because I'm not playing this game. So these kids are wailing and the parents fucking take them up and they left. They left the theater and the theater bust out in the middle of like a kind of serious scene. The theater just bust out and clapped her, you know, and clapped because these people had left. But then it's not even done yet. Two people had their phones go off in the middle of the movie. It tells you to shut your fucking volume off. Are you just ignorant? Like, it tells you, it reminds you, hey, don't forget to turn your phone volume off. Don't forget to do that thing. And one of the people fucking answered it for like a 10. They're like, I gotta go by. And I'm just like, man. Then I saw another person that had their phone up and doing something and it started strobing. The backlight was strobing. I'm like, I just don't get it, dude. I don't get how people are so disrespectful. And then once the movie like got off and all the other bullshit stopped and all these people actually started watching and enjoying the movie, great experience again. It go back to how good the movie is and how it connects the room and how it just, you were talking about the thing where there's a very special experience when you go see a movie in theaters and it moves you to different emotions. And that was done in this movie once all the bullshit stopped. So like I said, the experience was shit. The movie was great. Definitely check it out, folks. Brandon, the guys who do the, they did Civil War, the Russo brothers. They're doing the Infinity War. Well, I guess that's what we're here to talk about. They're changing the names of the Infinity War, Part 1 and 2. It will not be called that. It'll be Infinity, or it'll be Avengers, whatever the subplot is for both movies that might not have the same name even.
Yeah, that's, I just saw that, like, last week where they said that the name Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2 don't really make sense anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. Now they can title it how they want to and let the title, because listen, titles don't have to be boring. And one thing you know is that if you look at Marvel, for the most part, they don't have a lot of sequels that are 2 or 3. Iron Man's one of the only exceptions. Iron Man 1, Iron Man. Okay, so it's Iron Man 2, and then Iron Man 3. But then you have Captain America, the First Avenger, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War, Thor, then Thor, the Dark World. You know, I think Guardians 2 will be the second one that, but it's not even called, no, it's not just called Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm pretty sure the name is officially Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah.
So I like that they're not going to just give it a, oh, it's Infinity War Part 1, it's Infinity War Part 2. We're happy with that. They're going to get creative. It's good.
Now, before you switch the topic, yeah, I had something for Civil War.
Okay.
It hit 181.8 million this weekend.
In the U.S.
I do assume that's what it was.
It is U.S. You should check out the worldwide number, because the worldwide number is probably going to blow your mind.
I already saw it last week.
What?
It opened worldwide last week.
No, but the current worldwide. Because I'm pretty sure today I just read that it is at $686.4 million.
It had 200 last week, so another week it made another 400 million.
So the Disney was the fastest in one quarter to get to $1 billion in ticket sales. I hate that, dude. I hate when my brain shuts off like that. I had a really poignant thought and it just went away from my head. Motherfuckers. But, oh, talking about awards and what this movie, they're pretty sure, because see, Disney getting total ticket sales of over $1 billion, they've released other movies. But with this movie, it will most likely reach the $1 billion mark as early as next weekend.
Yeah, well, see, it also helps having other characters involved in this story.
That is true.
Because the Winter Soldier only did $95 million opening weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Honestly, I loved the Winter Soldier too. It's a really, really, really great story, dude.
Okay, so I just want to tell our audience why we're waiting to talk about it so much. Since I haven't seen it, you know, sometimes I'll just set the stuff out to let you talk about it with somebody who has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anybody who is a fan of the show or knows me knows that I quit superhero movies altogether at some point.
I think it was after Dark Knight Rises?
No, Iron Man 2.
Oh, it was Iron Man 2. My mistake.
The only reason why I went and saw Dark Knight Rises is because I was already invested into that trilogy, that story. I had no interest in seeing the Avengers when that came out. My interest was at zero. Absolutely zero. I had no interest in seeing, you know, Thor or Captain when that came.
Okay.
None. Okay, because I saw Iron Man 1 and said, this movie's freaking cool.
Yep.
They did a good job. And then I saw Hulk, which is Universal. Still, I'm like, you know, it's pretty decent for a Hulk movie. And I just went to the theaters and saw Iron Man 2. And I thought Iron Man 2 sucked.
You were let down.
I was let down tremendously. So I said, fuck this shit. Because Iron Man 1 was the first superhero movie since The Dark Knight. Okay. That was a big shining star. But before that, you had Spider-Man 3, X-Men 3. A lot of downers.
Clunkers, yeah.
And so I said, screw this shit. I'm not going to give a shit about superhero movies anymore. I'm not going to get hyped up. I'm just going to watch them in my own time. And
if you decide to watch them, yeah.
Exactly. And so when we started doing like this show, you know, you were wanting to talk about that stuff. And I'm like, I haven't watched them. I want to say Guardians either was coming out. I think Guardians was coming out.
Correct.
And I'm just like, maybe I'll see it when it goes to DVD or Blu-ray. I want to say the movie, I think Turtles came out that month, and so did Sin City 2.
Yep.
And I had more interest in Sin City 2 won so much.
Yeah.
That being said, we went through, me and my wife, I went through and watched every single Marvel movie. Right now we are on Ant-Man, so we need to watch Ant-Man. But
is that tonight?
No, that won't be tonight. Game of Thrones is tonight. Okay, here's the thing with us. It took us 4 days to watch Age of Ultron.
Damn.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that it'll all get done tonight.
Okay, so now I have a question.
What's that?
Okay, because I don't know that you said this, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but Caitlin had never seen any of the Marvel movies.
Okay, so she saw the Iron Man movies.
Okay.
She watched that. And then we went to saw two. We both thought two sucked. And then she saw Guardians. We bought Guardians. She had no idea that it was a Marvel movie. Even when we went back to watch these, she was like, wait, so that's a Marvel movie and it's in the Avengers universe? I said, yep. She goes, huh. So there you go for that. We watched Avengers 1. A day or two before we saw Age of Ultron. That was my first time watching Avengers 1.
Damn. I've got to ask. Now that, did you guys watch them in the release order?
Yes.
Like one Hulk.
Iron Man's first. Iron Man, then Hulk.
Yeah, Iron Man. I said Iron Man 1, then Hulk.
Okay.
Then 2, then Thor, then Cap. Then Avengers, then Iron Man 3.
Thor Dark World.
Then Cap 2.
And Winter Soldier, yep.
Then Guardians.
Then Age of Ultron.
Then Ant-Man. Then Civil War.
Yeah, we have. Yep.
Wow. I still have not tackled that, watching them all back to back to back over time.
We'll see, and here's the thing, is that that's one reason why I want to talk about Civil War a lot. So I've gone through the motions of catching up and watching all of them, going back and through, because, you know, I really did enjoy, you know, the Avengers and Age of Ultron, and I like Guardians a lot. And I wanted to go back and watch the movies that I missed during a time period where I didn't give two shits. And, you know, there are some great movies in there, and there's ones that aren't so great.
Are you now reinvigorated on the MCU?
More so than I was.
Okay. And then how did Caitlin take these movies?
Fine.
She liked, I mean, is she excited? Is kind of more what I was getting at. Like, is she pumped now to see to see Cap 3?
Well, I mean, she really wants to go see it. That's one of the reasons why I didn't see it this weekend, because I could have got up early yesterday and went and saw it by myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, she wants to go see it too, especially after watching, you know, all the ones going forward. And she was interested after watching the, you know, the Avengers movies to see more about the characters that we hadn't watched the movies for.
Oh.
And I will say that Iron Man 2 still sucks. Iron Man 3 is not that much better. It is a little bit better.
Yeah, it's a movie with not a lot of Iron Man, though.
No, more Tony Stark. I will say that movie definitely was a bit more of a... it seemed like an episode of like a television show.
Yes.
Just very much longer, you know, a lot more length. Now, as far as the other ones go, I'm sort of like here or there with Thor.
Okay.
Both movies were like, cool.
I don't think if you're really into like that kind of like mythical like that, like the, you know.
No, I am. I really am into that shit. It was just the execution of the films, in my opinion, were just...
Makes sense.
I mean, good effects, but as far as like the script and the overall in production, you know, so far has been like, just kind of like they're there and they're all right. I'm looking forward to the next one of those and just hope that they do, you know, do justice. I think Hemsworth is good. I think he's great as Thor, and, you know, he plays the role fine. Guardians is still great. I think that is the third time I've seen Guardians.
Awesome.
But then so far, in all honesty, I think Captain 1 and Captain 2 are the single best, character pieces.
Absolutely.
And I think those two movies are a shining example of like just a really good superhero movie, because in some ways you like Guardians is not a superhero movie. You know, it's more of a sci-fi flick. That sort of ties in, you know?
Yeah.
But from that standpoint, I think the two Captain movies are probably the strong point, because, and I've said this before, I thought, and after seeing, you know, the first Avengers again, it definitely is an ensemble piece, that there's story there, but it's very limited.
Oh yeah.
And more focused on moments than the actual story. There is more story in Age of Ultron. That was my second time watching Age of Ultron other than a year ago.
In the theater, yeah.
And I will say that I think it is a better flick than the original Avengers. They were able to deepen some character development and even give us slight origins, mm-hmm. like Black Widow and you know, they tried. With that being said, I that center part of that film still sort of like, all right, let's get moving, because there is a spot where they don't check in with what Ultron is doing for a good period, and they have Thor going off doing this thing where it's not really, it's sort of just like, oh yeah, he's got to go in this water and and relive his dream. Why? Because we need a reason for him to re-see this and figure this out. Yep. And that was pretty much it. That is a low part of the movie for me, you know. But from beginning to end, that's why I really wanted to wait and talk about Civil War and really dissect that movie with you, because I wanted that, you know, I went back and I invested my time to start from the beginning, even though I really didn't have to. I wanted to, because I wanted it to be 100% accurate in my opinion going forward on the MCU.
Excellent, man. I'm glad you put the time in on that one, because it will make it even the payoff. I'm so excited. So I have two questions left for you involving your recent watching of the MCU. Question one, did you watch all after credit scenes?
I the only one I missed was the original Avengers. I can't remember why we didn't watch that.
On the Blu-ray or whatever, you guys didn't go through and see the Thanos thing?
Yeah.
Ouch. Oh, well, missed it.
For whatever reason, man, because we were watching all of them up to that point. I can't remember why that one got skipped.
Because Iron Man 1 had the
Fury.
Fury. Hulk had Tony and Fury.
Yeah. Well, see, they also did it in a weird way, too, because I want to say Iron Man 1, but they didn't have it at the end of the credits. They had it at the end of the movie.
Yep.
They sort of moved it up.
Yeah.
Hulk had Tony talking to what's his name?
Ross, Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, Thunderbolt. And so Tony was talking to him, and then you had in Thor. Oh, wait, Iron Man 2 was Thor's hammer.
Yep.
And then in Thor, was that the... what one was in Thor?
I'm trying to remember.
Because at this point, they were still doing the
was Thor... I think, didn't Thor just have a trailer for Cap?
Well, because I thought Cap was just a trailer for
Avengers. Is that what I was thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna MCU after credit scenes. That's not how you spell scenes. Okay. I put seams. Okay. Come on. Oh, what? My Wi-Fi is off on my phone. Gotta love that. I think my Wi-Fi just randomly shuts off on my phone sometimes, guys. Okay, now it's going. Now it's going. Come on. Hurry, speed. Let's go. Let's do this, dude. Phones suck. Try this again. Oh, here we go. Okay. List of post-credit scenes. Marvel Cinematic Universe. Cool. Okay, so we've got... obviously, we were just talking about Iron Man has Tony and Nick Fury. Hulk has... Tony Stark with Thunderbolts. You said Iron Man 2 has Thor's hammer. Then Thor. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thor had Nick Fury and the Tesseract.
Mm.
They had. Yeah. They were trying to harness the Tesseract, and they used, Eric Selvig, the dude from the first Thor. They were, wanting him to be a research team dude. And then... the Avengers thing played after Cap, the first Avenger. Then your two in the Avengers was the Thanos on his throne smiling at the other. And then the shawarma thing where the Avengers were filming. And interestingly enough, the shawarma scene was filmed the week of the red carpet for Avengers. And Chris Evans actually had a full beard because he was filming Snowpiercer. So if you notice on that after credit scene that Steve Rogers is holding one of his cheeks and just not really looking at anything and just is kind of into eating the shawarma, it's because he was covering his beard so the camera couldn't see it. Because it's supposed to take place right after the Battle of New York, you know?
Right, because Stark said he wants to have shawarma. He doesn't know what shawarma is, but he wants to try it.
Correct.
One thing I like about that is that how they're all just sitting there, right? And they're all just kind of looking off their own thing and being wow, we just went through fucking hell, you know? Not talking. And then you see Thor sitting there just chomping into this food. He just nodding arm, arm. That's every day for me, man.
So back to our after credit scenes. Iron Man 3 had Tony talking to Bruce Banner. And they,
which was hilarious, by the way.
Absolutely. And then they had a mid scene that was foreshadowing of Guardians. Sif and Volstagg arrived at the museum of the Collector, and they presented him with the Aether that they had captured from Thor. And then, so closer to setting up the Infinity Stones. Then in Thor the Dark World, it was...
What's that? That was in Thor the Dark World.
Oh, you know what's weird? The way that cut, that's strange. It cut the thing and it... Okay, yeah, you're right. That was the first one of Thor the Dark World. Then the second one was Jane and her colleagues or... Yeah. Okay.
Then Thor comes back and then they embrace.
Yep. And then Winter Soldier is the Age of Ultron teaser with Von Strucker and Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are seen for the first time.
Yep.
And then after the Battle of the Triskelion, the Winter Soldier arrives at Captain America's exhibit at the Smithsonian, where he sees information regarding Bucky Barnes, essentially where he finds out who he was, but you know he's not sure. Obviously, Dancing Groot, which is nothing special, and then in Guardians, and then the Howard the Duck thing in Guardians. Age of Ultron had the Infinity Stones thing, with him getting the gauntlet and declaring that he was going to get him himself, and then had, what the hell? Okay, I guess that's all that had for Avengers. And then there are two for Ant-Man. Have you seen Ant-Man yet? That's the second question.
Not yet.
So I'm not going to tell you anything that's in the Ant-Man thing. I'm just going to leave you to see that. And then there are two after credit scenes on Civil War. Make sure you watch them both. They're both great in their own right and pretty exciting. So we've really unintentionally unpacked the MCU today, Brando. That was not written down, but I think that could do it for today's episode. Yeah.
I think so too. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I will say before we go, next episode that we do here is going to be a fuller review of Civil War, where we're going to talk about it with our good friend Blaine is coming back.
Yep.
Right? He said he is declared I must be on that episode, so we said, sure, fine, we'll let you be here. No, honestly, he's absolutely awesome to have on, so I'm excited to talk about that with you guys. That'll be sometime next week, but I think, Brando, are we releasing A Journey into Wrestling on this channel to promote that through our channel?
We can.
You had said at some point that episode 2 of Journey into Wrestling was going to be on the main channel. So,
well, I said episode 2 of Game Addicts was, and that was released last week.
Well, I mean, I guess we could do that. And then Brando tomorrow or tonight, I'm not sure yet, haven't decided. I'll be doing my movie podcast episode 0, and that's going to be up on the channel soon.
Oh, awesome! I can't wait to check that out.
But episode 0, let me clarify this: it's still going to be an episode of Journey into Comics. It's kind of akin to how you did Sword Alive episode 1, where it's just a taste of what we're going to do. But we're going to, for the 20th anniversary of Twister, do a Riff Tracks on Twister.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to talk about funny things that you might not know about the movie and talk about, you know, our loves and our dislikes. And we're going to talk about all the times they should have died. And we're going to discuss continuity errors. We're really going to just... in the Riff Track, talk about every single little nook and cranny of that movie. So it should be a lot of fun. You guys will be checking that out in the next couple days, I would assume. But Brando, if that's all, I don't have anything. Do you have anything else?
I'm good.
Check us out on social media shit like Instagram and whatnot. You know what? I do have one tiny final thing. Guys, there's a new podcast I found. And I have to say that this podcast keeps up with my amount of cussing, which is pretty impressive considering. But this podcast is called Earth Girls, Earth spelled normal, Girls spelled with a U, G-U-R-L-Z, R-E-Z. Earth Girls are easy, right? But I checked out one of their episodes. They kind of had some interactions with us on Twitter, so I went and checked them out. Actually, Brando, if you want, you can just go to the DM of our Twitter, and they sent us a link. But I checked them out. They're quite good. You guys should give them a listen. You can only get them on SoundCloud, so go there and show your support to them. Shout out to those girls. And that's it, man. So until next time, I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
And this was Journey into Comics. Later.